Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
This is Radio Influence. The future is now.
Let me tell you why you're here.
You have 210-story office buildings.
We just witnessed some kind of...
You don't find a desk.
Secondary.
You don't find a chair.
Follow-up explosion on the World Trade Center.
You don't find a telephone.
Some kind of explosion. A lot of smoke come out at the top.
110 stories high. They are no longer there.
The building collapsed to dust.
To dust. To dust. To dust. To dust. To dust. To dust.
This is your last chance.
I would ask.
After this, there is no turning back.
Once all the facts are out.
You take the blue pill.
For your understanding.
The story ends.
And for your forgiveness.
You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want.
Media is the...
You take the red
pill. Nervous system of a democracy.
You stay in Wonderland.
If it's not functioning well, the democracy can't function.
And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
The democracy can't function.
The red pill.
Take the red pill.
You have to let it all go.
Take the red pill.
Fear.
Doubt. WhatReallyHappened.com.
You just believe.
WTC7.net.
Free your mind.
Take the red pill.
Oh, goody. I get to be on the internet. Woohoo! You know what? I'm going to be honest with you. I love doing this podcast so much, I would have sex with it. I would have sex with my own podcast. Now, think about that for a second. I'm sure sometime we're going to bend the space-time continuum, and we'll be able to fold matter on into itself. And then I'm going to stick my dick in it. And that is why I love doing this podcast. Because I am, yes, I'm doing terrestrial radio. I'm getting quite a few hours between two radio stations. And I can't say fuck. I want to say fuck. Fuck. See? That's awesome. Welcome to Dangerous Conversation, RadioInfluence.com. I'm your wound-up and occasionally insightful and a pain in the ass that won't go away. I'm like a mosquito in your tent, and I'm going to make you pay attention. I'm going to go pay attention to that. Rethink it. Do some research. Get back to me. Think for yourself. By all means, please think for yourself. Scrutinize, you know, don't just take shit for granted that whatever some official organization, news information station, that's a little bit of what we're going to talk about tonight, decides to tell you what the fucking truth is. You know what? Think for yourself. It's not difficult to do. It's a little scary because here's what happened. This is the conversation. I have this conversation. This is the conversation I have. Ledge, you know, I used to think you were a crackpot or weird or conspiracy theorist, but as I follow you on social media and I listen to your podcasts and listen to your shows, you make points that I go back and look on Google and I start to realize that, yeah, oh my God, Bush's grandfather was helping to fund the Nazis. It's provable. I don't just make this shit up. If I did, I'd be a very creative person because you think about it, you know? The idea that Kennedy's head went back and to the left, as Jerry Seinfeld would say, is everything to do with physics, inertia, kinetic energy. It's ninth grade physics. Believe me, I'm not smart. I'm smart enough to know that 9/11's bullshit. It's fucking bullshit. And more people wake up. But here, see, here's the conversation. You know, Ledge... You talk about 9/11 a lot, and I go, well, of course, it's a linchpin. I mean, it is technically our generation's Pearl Harbor. Many people were so young, you know, 8, 9 years old, they weren't emotionally connected to it whatsoever. So they're 22 now or whatever. 15 years later, right? So they can look at it absolutely clear-minded. They weren't sold a bill of goods by the media, you know, 19 Saudi hijackers with knives who couldn't land Cessna airplanes suddenly decide that they can now tackle 757s and 767s, fly them at unbelievable speeds and maneuvers, and hit essentially three of their four targets. Or it's all been orchestrated, very intensely orchestrated. I mean, there are so many layers to the onion that is 9/11. There's the money side. There's people that were embezzling money. There's people that were stealing money during 9/11. 9/11, during 9/11. So whoever planned this knew they had a window of about 45 minutes to make illegal transfers in banks, and there were softwares to prove it. And it's called Follow the Billions. 9/11, what's his name? Oh, God, James over in Japan does amazing work. And all you got to do is think for yourself. So then I get to the part of the conversation where they go, yeah, but where it happened to the passengers. In other words, they're trying to fill all the holes. If they're starting to doubt the official story, how come someone hasn't come forward and told the truth? Or how come there's been no whistleblowers? I got news for you. There's been dozens and dozens and dozens of whistleblowers. FBI people like Sybil Edmonds. Okay, who smelt bullshit, knew, stepped in bullshit, didn't have to taste it to realize it was bullshit. She blew a whistle. She's a hero. She has her own podcast, and she thinks for herself, and she motivates others to do that. That's so badass. So they say, ledge, well, if I doubt 9/11, then I go, yeah, it's a domino effect. If you realize 9/11 is bullshit, then you realize the wars are bullshit. Then you realize, the war on terror is bullshit. All the dominoes fall over. And what happens? You're left with a void. You're left with this void. What am I supposed to think? If all that's bullcrap, then what's the truth? Okay, that's the first step. That's when Neo takes the red pill and Morpheus wakes him up and goes, this is your reality now. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to go back to sleep, or are you going to fill the void? And that's where your own personal journey takes place, and that's where you might clash with family members if you talk about it. I don't really recommend going to any type of, story. And I do doubt Sandy Hook. I'm not convinced, but if you look at the amazing amount of anomalies and homes for sale for $0 and 0 cents, and most of these families showed up and disappeared. It would make a very creepy movie. The way there were no helicopters going to Sandy Hook, the way the ambulance has never even had access to the building. To who decided to declare children dead? A cop? Only doctors can do that. Why were there no life-saving techniques being used? Why did you automatically assume that all those children didn't have a chance to live? That's what EMTs do. That's what helicopter pilots that, if you live in a big metropolitan area, you realize that roads can be congested. If you have a bad accident, ambulance is never going to get to you, and you're never going to get to the hospital. So we use, it's called Bay Flight, and I'm sure you have it somewhere. No helicopters other than news helicopters buzzing above a building with a bunch of people walking in a circle. No true. I mean, here's my example. My 6-year-old daughter's in there. I find out she's been gunned down. There is nothing in the fucking world that's going to stop me from getting in there and seeing my baby. Nothing. And every parent would have been doing that. Where were those people? It's a weird anomaly. So I'm not convinced about that. But what I've done is what we call deductive reasoning. I watch the first 48 hours, forensic files, and I see deductive reasoning all the time. That's a detective. We're going to get to the media tonight a little bit. That's what an actual investigative journalist. It's right in the fucking title. That's what they'd be doing. They'd be saying, geez, that hole in the Pentagon does not match what an 80-ton 767 would do to the building. Question. And then they go on to another anomaly, and another one, and another one, and another one, and another one. And that's what detectives do, and that's what deductive reasoning does. You don't have to be fucking Einstein to figure out if someone's cheating on you. You look for the clues. That's what happens. You look for the clues. Oh, well, she's been coming home late a lot and saying she's had to work late. We haven't made love in a long time. I'm feeling a distance. There's a strange phone number showing up on our bill. One night she came home pretty drunk and her clothes were messed up. Let me see. Okay. I'm being cheated on. Boom! You're a detective. Well, it's the same thing with all these big events that keep taking place. Doubt them. Investigate them. Start with it's a lie and move backwards. That's what I do. I start with I'm being conned. Now prove to me I'm not. That's how absolutely understanding of the Matrix and the messengers, mainstream media, which we'll get to, those fuckers, are literally responsible for the Matrix because the powerful can't be powerful if they don't, if they control you, if they can't control you, I'm sorry. So they invent this thing and media kind of becomes itself. And then later on, they realize the power behind it. And then the word propaganda is invented. And then you watch CNN or you watch MSNBC or you're like my old fart brother who stares at Fox News for 8 hours a day. And they it's called television programming for a reason. So I have this conversation and I'm like, and they're like, well, you know, if 9/11 is bullshit, then I'm like, well, I can recommend a lot of good documentaries, but they're going to make you question everything, not just 9/11. It's a domino effect. Suddenly, Oklahoma City, you look at that and go, wow, if this man acted alone, then how did those highly sophisticated bombs that didn't go off end up in the Murrah building? If he acted alone, you can see the bomb trucks backing up. You can see people telling to get away. You can see the governor, several people involved saying, yes, we have found high-tech explosive devices, and when we break them down, it will give us clues as to who made these bombs. Yeah, you don't know that, do you? It was Timothy McVeigh with a shit bomb. Well, the shit bomb explodes in every direction, up, down, sideways, like 360. Most of the force went across the street or up or down. Very little of the kinetic energy of the actual bomb went towards the Murrah building. And there was a high-tech person who understood that, who understood if you're going to bring this building down, you're going to blow this column, this column, this column. And if you notice, half the building collapsed, the other half didn't. And guess what? Guess where those bombs were probably at? The ones they found? Other half of the building. Because concrete, you know, like you put your arm around it and it's like 4 feet thick. Those are like, and there's steel inside of it. That shit crumbled. And it was right above where the babies were. Where they, what's that called? Not a nursery. Take care. And now, on the front page of my newspaper, out walks a fireman, first responder, risking his own life to go in there, into that rubble. And what's he holding? He's holding a dead one-year-old. You don't think that's going to affect how people think about an event? But there were more bombs in that building. So if McVeigh acted alone, how'd they get there? Suddenly you have a void. What are you going to replace it with? You're going to take that blue pill and go back to sleep and go, oh, you know what? And I get this a lot too, Ledge. I got bills to pay. I got a wife. I got kids. I only have so much emotional energy I can put towards something, so I'm not going to do it. And I'm like, hey, that's all good, man. You know, it's that water and horse thing. You can lead that horse to water, but you can't make him drink. It's got to be a personal choice to want to fill that void. And I, once you, to me, it was like when it crumbled in 2004 for me, I was like, okay, now what? It's life-changing. I almost consider it compared to what people that are religious would say, a baptism. Where you realize, okay, who owns that television station? And who owns that corporation? Oh, yeah, GE. Aren't they a defense contractor? Yeah. Didn't they make billions and billions during these wars? Yeah. And they own NBC, MSNBC? Yeah. You don't have to be fucking, you don't have to be fucking Einstein at all. And I'm going to give you a little proof. It's not that you need it. Jesus. All right. Let me blow this up from my old eyes here. Here we go. Consolidation. In 1983, 90% of American media was owned by 50 companies. That's not bad. Hang on. Coors Light, hang on. Oh, that's so good. There's another coming. That's what I'm talking about. 1983, you had 50 companies. I was just getting into radio in 81, and we were owned by Wilk Schwartz, and they only owned one of our FM and our AM in Springfield, Mass., and I believe an AM-FM combo in, not Poughkeepsie, upstate New York somewhere. Very small, that's what you call mom and pop now. That's what you call mom and pop, you know, a family or a couple businessmen that own two or three sticks, maybe a local TV station. Quite possibly very, I don't know, low-power FM. There's some of those coming online. So in 1983, 90% of the American media was owned by 50 companies. And I'm moving through it. You know, I actually moved from Springfield to Miami, and I'm working for a corporation. Obviously, it's a much larger market, so there was a bigger paycheck. But there were still too many, you know, there's like a bunch of TV station owners and a bunch of newspaper owners and a bunch of radio companies. And Bill Clinton, in all his wisdom, you know, he so fucked us with two things. When you think about that, he deregulates media ownership, and we'll get to how it's finally all come about. It's been narrowed down. But he says, oh, you know, it used to be you could own an FM and an AM, or an FM and a TV station, or a newspaper and an FM. They kept it so in every city there was diversity of opinion and, most importantly, competition. Because when you have competition, those people are out there digging for stories. They're actually out there going, you know, we got a corrupt senator, a senator. Yeah. Yeah, motherfucker. We're going to nail this guy. And media was the watchdog, the fourth estate. That's why they call it that. And it's not anymore. Because Bill Clinton signs the deregulation bill. And believe me, I saw it happen to me. I started working for, let me see. Great American, then CityCasters. CityCasters was bought by J-Core. J-Core was bought by Clear Channel, or became and bought by. And, you know, every time I turn around, it's like a different bank and number on my paycheck. And as I'm watching, oh, yeah, so-and-so in Cincinnati just bought four more stations. Now they have they're called clusters. Like a cluster fuck. Yeah, clusters. And those clusters, each cluster, they have some regulations. You know, seven sticks, I think it is, and maybe one. They found a way to get around that, too, by some type of management acts where you can come in and technically not own the station, but you run it. So what happens at the end of the day is, it's like Pac-Man, and you're watching every time you turn around, oh, this company bought four more stations, this company bought seven more stations. And I was like, okay. And I was trying to think positively about it, because I was thinking, okay, the small mom and pops that had hardly any budgets are now going to be grouped with larger sticks. Those stations make money. It's kind of like college football feeds other sports programs because it's so big. Well, the same thing could happen for the smaller mom and pop. Now, they're going to get bought out, but the station itself will have more energy, more protein to build and grow and compete and be something unique. I'll never forget the day. Brad Harden walks in. We all have a meeting in the room. He's got the whiteboard out, and he draws like five lines down. He writes seven radio stations, you know, in those gaps, two on the outside. And those are the seven stations in our cluster. And he writes the call letters, and we're here. And I think the first word out of his words out of his mouth were, stay in your lane. Oh. Okay. Because a week ago, that station right next to me, which we, of course, also own, was the fucking devil. And we were trying to beat it in the ratings. And now I got to stay in my lane. Ugh. God. It was like, that's like your girlfriend just dumping you. Yeah, that's what that's like. So, Brad, I raised my hand like a polite little school kid. If Star 95.7 and 98 Rock both want to play the same song, what happens? It's my salute to Casey Kasem, by the way. Well, you know, there's a good chance that you could both play it, but, you know, whatever demo it fits into. So basically what happens here is you get varnished. You just like they you strip away. First of all, you're not competitive with six other radio stations that you used to just want to just kick their butts. You're all after that big, juicy 25-54 adults demo. But you also want to kind of super serve your core of 18 to 34s. So you do think music over. You do think about an ad when you add it. But no, you know, a long time ago, you just went, well, this is a fucking great song, and we're going to fucking play it. Boom. Decided. I will never forget the first time I played Smells Like Teen Spirit on 98 Rock. You want to talk about a freight train of change in one song? Well, nowadays, that song that could be changing everything might not get approved to play. Or it might get only played on six stations instead of 60. What if it's a political song in nature? What if it's asking questions like they did in the 60s? Well, guess what? Media goes, stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. Shut the fuck up. You want to go on tour? Well, those six songs don't make the album. Boom. Stay in your lane. I mean, if you don't think that's not happening, you're naive as fuck. Because it's happening. Believe me, I know. I know for a lot of reasons. A, because I really know this consolidation thing because it's happened to me. First by having to stay in my lane. Then by being involved in a format change and realizing you're basically just a number, but that's more personal. But then going to management and saying, I've got chops, put me on a stick, let me do a talk show. And they're like, you're the guy that just did the Red Pill stuff on Thunder, a classic rock station, and you're out there questioning 9/11. Do you think we're going to put you on the air ledge? See, that's what they could have said, you know? But what they said was, here's what they said. You know, it sounds like something we could discuss, and it could, you know, and then he scribbles it down like he's writing it down on a piece of paper, which I know he's going to crumple and throw in the trash as soon as he's done talking to me. And I'm like, yeah, there's a reality of what consolidation has done. It's made it owned by a handful, six companies owned the message, and they own the questioner. See, I talk about the people and the news. Well, there's a band out there that we'll never hear unless social media picks them up. And it doesn't always happen. It's great when it does happen because you got to really fucking stay with it. And Twitter and Facebook and self-market and tour and play and release free material and open a YouTube page and you know, because they're out there. I play them. I play them on this show. I know they're fucking out there and they're talented, but stay in your lane. They're like, fuck you. Fuck you. I'm not staying in my lane. life is lived on the outside of that lane. In 2011, this is 2011, okay, 5 years ago, the same 90% of controlled media companies that was owned by 50 companies, remember, is now down to 6. You want to talk about 50 lanes compared to 6 lanes? Compared to who gets a gig? Rush Limbaugh, you fucker. You lying piece of shit. You take hundreds of millions of dollars and continue the military-industrial complex and make it sound like you care about things. And you don't. You care about you. You care about your big, juicy paycheck. Oh, yeah. I forgot. You care about happy pills. And the reason I'm going to say that is because you're the same guy who called Jerry Garcia a druggie. Jerry certainly, you know, heroin, coke, riding his train, high on cocaine, okay? That's Jerry Garcia, but there were no apologies for Jerry, and he never heard a flea. So Limbaugh calls him a druggie. Right as he's done doing that show, he picks up the phone and doctor shops for more Vicodins. That's the one of the, that's one of those 6 lanes. Fuck that. No way. There's no way I'm doing that. So as long as I stay in my lane over at Beasley, and I am, I'm just enjoying rock music and talking about, you know, I when I get on terrestrial radio, I really try to identify with the local scene, and that's what my goals are and everything. So this podcast is important for just not me cathartically, but for the whole idea of, yeah, consolidation. It's a bitch. Now, I didn't talk Glass-Steagall, which is Clinton's other nightmare, where he does what? He deregulates the banks. They used to have a big wall. Trump, I think, didn't like that wall, though. On one side, you had investment banking. On the other side, you had commercial or investing, high risk versus plain old, you know, bank accounts and people savings and stuff. And Glass-Steagall said the twain shall never meet or whatever. I don't know. Basically, you couldn't grab someone's pension funds and invest them. And it kept. It was there all the way till 98, right? First he does deregulation. Then he does Glass-Steagall. It's like a double whammy of consolidation in our world. And that's when the bank frenzy happened. I can't, obviously, I was First Union, right? Then I was Wachovia. Then I was, what's the Pony Express one there? That's real huge now. Brain fart. Well, I said, fuck you. You can't have my money, and I won't keep my money here, and you won't make any money off my money because I'm going to a credit union, and I'm going to stay local because I know what consolidation is. It is the devil.
Consolidation is the devil. I heard it on Lage's podcast. Yeah.
Hang on.
Ah.
That is wonderful fruit juice. So, yeah, 6 companies. GE. GE owns Comcast, huge cable company. NBC, boom, boom, boom. Universal Pictures, Focus Features. If your Universal Pictures is a movie, if you ever watch movies, and a lot of the shoot 'em up, undercover detective stuff, who's the bad guy? Terrorist, right, not some, most of the time it's usually not some billionaire who no one knows of who's just undermined an economy and trying to break up a small country or something because it'll make him an extra $500 billion or something. There is your villain. There's a guy you never know of because consolidation says you ain't allowed to ask questions. Stay in your lane, Ledge. Six companies, that's all you get. And along comes the internet, and we all go, fuck you. As I grow this podcast, numbers keep growing, man. It's great. It's great. I love it. But, you know, it's going to not have an advertising budget. Eventually, we'll have some gear, and I got to take care of a Kickstarter before I invest any money into Dangerous Conversation. But I will let you know, every month, the numbers keep growing, man. It's great. And I love, you know, I'm not at advertising type dollars, but I am showing consistent growth. We're, you know, I love you sharing this podcast and go, hey, check out this dude, man. He's a terrestrial radio guy, but he's been doing a podcast for like 4 years now, and it's pretty cool. Thank you very much. I'm complimenting myself on my own show. News Corp. The home of Rupert Murdoch and the biggest pervert on the planet. It's so stereotypical. Roger Ailes. A big, round-tonned, fat man with three chins who probably smells like ass, runs the whole thing, hires nothing but blonde hotties with legs to tell you the news, and hits on every fucking one of them. That's classic. That is like, I mean, if you had a stereotype of what a powerful person is, what they are, what they're like, and what they'll do with that power, that's the guy. There's like one lawsuit, then there's 10, then there's like 20. I'm like, dude, put your fucking dick in your pants. What's wrong? And I'm like, oh my God, this guy's great talk show material. Thank you, Roger. The Wall Street Journal is owned by News Corp. Now they're official. They'd never lie to you. The New York Post. It's like yin and yang. Hey, we got a three-headed alien on page 6. Yeah. Yeah, I'm voting for Trump. All right, cool. Where was I? New York Post. Yep. Disney. Tinkerbell and Jiminy Cricket. No more. Well, the guy's head's frozen, man. Maybe they thaw him out. You know, like 100 years from now, they finally get to where they can reanimate you. Walt Disney wakes up. What the fuck? This was about little kids. All right, here we go. Viacom. Viacom is MTV, which I think is going to make a comeback. Now, the first thing they need to do is stop making programs for 16-year-olds. A couple's cool, but not an entire network wrapped around it. MTV used to have news. It used to report on what bands were saying about events. That's what I loved about it. If U2 was pissed about a war somewhere, one of those interviews was right there. Bam. The band you love, the band you worship, has now said something, ooh, I don't know, a little spicy. And then what happens in that food chain is everybody goes, hey, did you hear what U2 said? I'm like, oh, really? What's Angola? Yeah, they don't stay in their lane. They didn't have to stay in their lane back then. So I don't know if, see, what I'm getting at here, and I'm going to do a couple more, is mainstream media is dying. And it's dying because people know they can connect the dots. That's, you want to, I'll give you connect the dots right now, and I'll go back and finish the last two. Excuse me. This is from the CEO and co-owner of RadioInfluence.com, Jerry Pitek. And Jerry and I know each other because he was my engineer. I used to call him the octopus because he was like recording one thing and doing another and answering phones. And he was just like, I was like, man, he's like an octopus. And that was during Buccaneers football when I was the game day host. And Jerry, of course, approached me. Or did I approach him about bringing my podcast? I can't remember who. But it's a top-notch organization. There's a lot of great programming here. So he sends me something. He goes, hey, Ledge, this has you written all over it. And this is actually from a guy we both know named Lionel. Now, Lionel, of course, started here in Tampa Bay. He was a talk show caller to FLA. You know, the man is like a walking thesaurus. He just creates sentences that make you have to, you know, like, go Google words.
The particulate of the oxygen.
I'm just like, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, was that one word or four? But I remember my moment in 2004. I had this little stupid talk show called Think Outside the Box. And it was just for me to cut my chops and kind of complain to the universe on a 5,000-watt AM station on Sunday night when football's on that there's something wrong with the Matrix and I need to shout to the world about it. Those are the first dozen shows I did. Well, right after I was off the air, Lionel was syndicated from New York City. So as I'm packing up my stuff, boom, 10 o'clock, all of a sudden I'm hearing Lionel question Building 7. Now, he never went at it like I did. Got a little bit more to lose. It, by the way, that's a direct ratio. The amount you speak out versus the amount you have to lose are definitely relative to each other. So back then, Lionel, and he still does, he may not be as like, fuck you, 9/11's bullshit, say it that way, but, you know, you might say there's highly questionable topics. You know, I mean, he's a word master for sure. So here's what he's written. If you had a hunch that the news system was somewhat rigged and you couldn't put your finger on it, this might help you solve the puzzle. ABC News executive producer. Okay, that's the guy that makes whatever gets on your news, in other words. That's your executive producer. That's the guy just below the talking teleprompter reader, whoever that person is this week, who makes up lies to try to get credibility. Those people, the ones that are so vain that they don't care that you're lying to you and not telling you things. All they care about is they're curating how much money they're making and what stripper they're going to bang. Those guys that are paid millions of dollars to look right into their teleprompter and lie to you. And sometimes the lies, actually sometimes, a lot of the time, the lies are lies of omission. It's what they're not telling you. And that's where you've got to fill the void. That's where you've got to say, okay, if that's a lie, now what? And that's where you go to a lot of, you know, go to RT, go to Al Jazeera, go to NHK in Tokyo, go to BBC, go to, you know, I don't care. I would bounce it out, go to some conservative places because and liberal places or whatever you want to call them, because you'll find that the common denominator is in any, if you go to three places, what, you know, if they say like, yes, there is an issue with the plane and if three different news agencies all let that out and they're not all connected, then you're like, okay, I've got a hole in this story. And then that's when the internet comes in and that's when you do your own research. But this guy, Ian Cameron, is the executive producer for ABC News. And guess who he's married to? Susan Rice, who is the national security advisor to the president. Oh, yeah. It gets good. CBS president David Rhodes is the brother of Ben Rhodes. Okay, CBS's president is the brother of Ben Rhodes. Hey, Ben, need a gig? Yeah, Obama's deputy national security advisor for strategic communications. You need a long business card when you go, what are you? I'm the deputy national security advisor for strategic communications. It's like you're out of breath. CBS presidential, I'm sorry, President David Rhodes. Ben Rhodes. David Rhodes, Ben Rhodes. Okay, next one. ABC News correspondent Claire Shipman. This is Claire Shipman from the Pentagon. This is Claire Shipman near the front lines of the war on terror. She's married to former White House press secretary Jay Carney. The White House's press secretary. Well, they might have a message they want to get. It's so incestual. It's like Caligula. all these people are like bodies, and they're all just laying all over each other, like, all sweaty, and like some of them are having sex, and other ones are watching, and they're just, not that an orgy isn't a bad idea, but just, it's just so, oh, that's your mother, who cares? It's so incestual. ABC News and Univision reporter Matthew Jaffe is married to Katie Hogan.
Yeah, brother.
Obama's deputy press secretary. Now, I know these people around each other all day and they meet, you know, because one's asking the question and the other one's answering it. And they're all little Washington germs intermingling amongst each other, all seeking more power and fame. Yeah. Well, they eventually say, hey, you know, I work for the president. You work for ABC, man. Or do you think it's not arranged marriage? Can't be. But the problem is this whole thing called ethics. You don't think of the word ethics when you're at an orgy. Okay? You're going to go, your friend's going, wow, look at that over there. And you go, that's not ethical. Yeah. That was my thought too. So you look at this. There's another one. ABC's Ben Sherwood. I'm sorry, ABC president Ben Sherwood is the brother, I fucking kid you not, of Obama's special advisor, Elizabeth Sherwood. I see, I don't do impersonations well, but if I could do an Obama, I'd go like, call your friend over. Eh, fuck it. I'm not even going to do it. Call your friend over there. Call your boss. And never mind. Have him come over for barbecue. And I'll speak to them about that piece they did about Pakistan. Or, you know, that drone thing you guys keep running over there? How about you just bury that? You know, appreciate that. That is the slippery, nasty, greasy, grimy, completely covered in DNA pit of vipers all gathered together, hissing at each other, and like Kevin Spacey and House of Cards. It's just like, every you smile at everybody, you shake everybody's hand, you smile at them, but the moment they leave, you go, oh, I'm killing me. I'm killing me. Want to do another one? Let's do another one. CNN president. Holy shit. So we got a CBS president. We've got an ABC president. These are news organizations. And now we've got the president of CNN as well. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Virginia Moseley, who's married to former Hillary Clinton Deputy Secretary Tom Nides. I think it's just that they're all hanging around each other and they go, hey, you want to fuck? Yeah, you got some blow? Pfft, let's do it. And then later on, you know, let me see. I fucked my way up to this job. Let me say, maybe I need to kiss my ass to the next level. Okay, so I don't need you anymore. Do you need me? Nah? Nah. Okay. Hey, good luck with the career. Let me know how it works. Just, you know, like those videos of scared cats? The moment they're done, like, they're rubbing on each other and all of a sudden it's just whip around. That's politics in America. That's consolidation. There's no one out there going, you know what? You're a corrupt fucker. I'm going to the press. They're all like, hey, man, way to fuck over Angola. That was a hell of a take. How'd you do that? Oh, we just ran a small coup. Typical op. Put the CIA in there, created doubt, started some factions, created some artificial terror, started to throw the leader under the bus by using the media, of course, which we control. And then we created the riots. And then, of course, there was the coup and his arrest. And now we have our new puppet in there. Great job, dude. Man, you guys are on it over there. Hey, is there any openings? I love crushing third world countries. Let's do it. All right. My guys will call your guys tennis? No? Okay. Hey, got any blow? Yeah, by the way, I'm bi. Do you suck dick? You do? Okay, let's make sure we hit on that too. I don't care about your sexuality. I just had to throw that in there because it was funny. So consolidation. Let me go back to that chart and read you the... Are you loving all this bad news? Isn't it great? Like, Ledge, bone me out, dude. Shut up. Warner Brothers, weren't they the WB? They are the WB, dumbass. That's what Warner Brothers stands for. But they had a frog. And a frog. Mammy. He was like tap dancing with a cane. They're like, because see, here's what you... Okay, hang on a second. Okay, here's how it goes. You got ABC, CBS, NBC. Even PBS had some, you know, hey, they were the fourth. You have four choices. All right? And the Warner Brothers comes along and goes, we want to compete. Well, how do you get noticed? Well, you're programming. But, yeah, but programming doesn't come first. Promotion comes first. How about if we had a singing frog? WB. I always love speculating what's going on in the corporate offices in New York City where all those kiss asses have jobs that I'll never, A, want, but B, get paid like. These are people that make like 500 grand a year to sit around and go, that's right, absolutely right, Mr. Simpson. Yes. Oh, yes. I would do it exactly the same way as you, sir. Yes. Yes. I still get paid on Friday, right? That guy? You know, it's like, what was it, Charlie Sheen's character in the Gordon Gekko flick there. He just wants to be, he just sees guys like, you know, limos and helicopters and surrounded by hookers and blow. And they're like, oh, I just want that so bad. That guy, he's the guy that's now making 500 grand. He's sitting around some corporate area in the news division. And one person who still has an ethical cell left in her body raises a question and goes, shouldn't we tell the side of the other side of the war, sir? Who are you? What's your name? Yes. Shut the fuck up. Stay in your lane. CBS owns... Did I finish the other one? Yeah. CBS owns Showtime. The Smithsonian Channel, because everything we say is the absolute truth, because we talk like this. The NFL, well, they own NFL.com, so they can't be all that bad. Hey, I fuck you if you don't like the NFL. There you go. I'm working on a piece here tonight, so, you know. Jeopardy. That's great. Because you... Oh, shit. We own the Smithsonian Channel and Jeopardy. Alex Trebek, these are the changed answers to physics. Alex, I'll take 9/11 for $200. Free falling buildings is to this. Alex, I'll say the truth. Yes. I'll take it for $300. Free-falling buildings into their own structure and strength is this. Alex, I'll say, bullshit? No, I'm sorry, that's wrong. Buildings fall into their own strength all the time. Thank you for playing our game. Smithsonian Channel and Jeopardy. 60 Minutes. Remember when 60 Minutes actually just ratted out the assholes? It was awesome. He used to go after, like, chemical companies, and he used to go after defense contractors just pissing your money away. What else he used to go after? He used to go after politicians local. He used to go after sex scandals, predators. 60 Minutes had a sack. Big old sack. Because it was run by old news guys who are, I think, pretty much all dead now. Dan Rather's not, right? Dan Rather's still alive, yeah. Morley Safer. I'm trying to remember the names off the top. Ed Bradley, Leslie, was it Visser? No, that's the one that married. Whatever. Basically, they were doing journalism. Journalism. You know that word where you follow the rule of law and you look like a detective into something? You ask questions. You ask follow-up questions. You go down the food chain. Ooh, let me see here. I got a murdered person with a phone next to him. I'm going to take that as evidence. Put it in a little bag so my fingerprints don't get on it. And I take it down to the lab. And then they scan it for fingerprints, and they go to work on that. And then they go, okay, what were the last couple of phone calls incoming? Blah, blah, blippity, blam, blah, 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 blah. And then they go, here's a phone call from 45 minutes ago. Meet me in the park. All right, so what's that phone number? All right, let's trace that. Also, let's look into her phone records because he and this phone number might show up more than once, meaning she probably knows the guy. Detective work, motherfuckers! They just disappeared on 9/11. Why? Because the media said, hey, here's the 19 guys we're looking for. How do we know that? I know it's only been 2 hours. Do we have any paperwork to follow that up that would actually prove it? No. But we've been told by the people in the big fancy house that that proof is coming. Never came, by the way, folks. Ever. They show a video of Osama bin Laden talking about the buildings, and they insert the new narrative. Stay in your lane, motherfucker. Stay in your lane. Oh, yes, this is Osama bin Laden speaking in his own foreign language. There is no soundtrack provided because we've deleted that. But these little white words showing up at the bottom of your screen are telling you this is him describing how he'd attacked the buildings. Millions of people see this video and go, oh, see, there's your proof. Not, is there a paper trail? Is there detective work? Why did we fly his entire family out of the country when other planes weren't even allowed off the ground? You know, a follow-up question. Fuck. I read a book called House of Bush, House of Sod. In 2004 in the spring, I'm doing a lot of live broadcasts at Lightning Games because that's their cup year. Yeah, Bolts! And I'm out in this patio, and I'm doing 3 to 7. Game don't start till 7. I mean, I need some books to read. I listen to Air America and Randy Rhodes. She's talking about this book. I go to a bookstore, I read it, I start getting them. I'm like, you know what? This basically sounds to me like a country sucks oil's dick and oil sucks the country's dick because it's a mutual. Okay, yeah, all right, okay. Then I get to this bin Laden guy. And the reporter, in their wisdom, puts in the middle of the book, oh, yeah, remember when the bin Laden family was flown out of Sarasota over to, I think, Kentucky, and then another plane full of bin Ladens met there, and then they were escorted out of the country when not one other airplane was allowed to leave the ground? Do you think a detective who would actually do detective work like on the next 48 hours? Love that show. Or Forensic Files. I love that show. Want to know what's going on in the universe? I don't know. Ask some fucking questions. Start with that. But CBS and Warner Brothers and Viacom and Disney and News Corp and GE are going to tell all of their news anchors in the smaller markets that were, that used to be the grassroots. That's used to be where, and it started a newspaper too. You know, the Watergate issue was because two reporters for a Washington paper did journalism. And he was caught. And there was proof, and the reason there was proof is because it was in the newspaper, and people read it, and more questions were asked, and then the definition of the whole story was refined, because when you do detective work, you will hit a dead end, you throw that away. But then that could lead to another new branch on a tree, and as you do detective work, it's just like dominoes falling inside your head. What you think might have happened gets not just annihilated in front of a wave, but figured out right behind it. And yeah, I mean, Forensic Files more is about, you know, DNA and hair strands and, you know, this lipstick on this glass and you know, semen this. And but they still have to ask the right questions of what to test for. Because you can't sit around all day testing for everything on something. Oh, do we have his holster? Really? There's a gun in it, but that's not the murder weapon. All right, well, let me open the holster that's leather and see if the dents match the gun. No, they don't. Look, there's dents. There's been a different kind of gun inside this holster. That's what she said. Detective work! Not going to happen since consolidation. People go, well, you know, companies have a right to exist. Well, corporations, listen, if you're not making money, you're dying. You know, it's a Gordon Gekko thing. And corporations are like Pac-Men. They get bigger and they have to gobble. They have to. And then they have to cut jobs at the bottom. They're like a lawnmower, you know? Let's do another chart of bullshit. Let's do another chart of bullshit. Here's what you're not being told in the mainstream media. Wait a minute now. Hang on a sec. Bum, 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 bum. I got a couple of the pages saved. I just want to make sure. We'll do Bill Hicks on Carlin's Corner tonight. Cool. Yeah, just a meme. But it's a meme with Usain Bolt holding all of his gold medals and Michael holding all his medals. And it just says, don't smoke weed, they said. You'll never be the most decorated Olympian of all time, they said. I fucked up the read on it, but it's good. It's great sarcasm. journalism is what John Oliver is going to talk about here, and we're going to kind of bounce around in that, too. And I will have some Bill Hicks for Carlin's Corner, but we'll play it at the end of the show to end the show. Know what I'm saying? Okay, cool. Ah. You know, a little cotton mouth here. All right, my next, it's the hemp plant. And what I'm going to do is it shows, let me see, one, two, three, about a dozen. It's like a clock. They set it up like a clock. Some of the uses for hemp. We're not talking cannabis. We're talking hemp now. So if what I want to do is just mention them in no particular order. And say who they're going to threaten and who they're threatening. I can guarantee it. Here's a perfect example. Livestock feed. Okay? You want some chicken. You want some proteins in there. Well, for livestock feed, they can use anything from corn, but they can use soy. If you're going to give your chickens a decent diet, yeah. Well, what you could do with hemp seeds is the exact same thing. And they're high in protein and omega oils. They're amazing. So they would threaten the livestock feed people, not just their matrix, but all the suppliers of them. Construction. There's two houses being built right behind me. They're slabs. We're here in Florida. There's no basements. They're slabs, and then they build nice concrete, regular concrete blocks all the way around. They build walls. They build the inner structure. Definitely hurricane sound buildings. Those are good. And then they build the frame on the top with the frame and the roof. And then, they finish it off and do that. Well, those concrete blocks, they conduct heat horribly because it's stone. So on the outside of your house, when it's 95 degrees, your sheetrock is going to heat up. There's going to be a gap in between your outer stucco and because your concrete pulls that heat in so well. Well, now we have something called hempcrete. It's made of hemp instead. Not only does it harden every year because of something, what it does with CO2, okay, it's good for that issue, but it calcifies, that's the word. And it becomes harder and harder, and it lasts about 100 years, but it doesn't conduct heat. So it's a great thermal way to build your building. I wonder who we'll be threatening with that. Oh, I don't know, the entire concrete industry? Half the country? We don't want that news getting out on Channel 28 tonight, do we? That's right. Don't I advertise at your station? Don't I spend $300,000 about my concrete and my contractor? Yeah, and you want to run a report about hempcrete? You notice why every time Ledge does a voice about, I don't know, corruption? Sorry, guys. I don't want to be a stereotype all the time. So let me speak like this. You're not going to run that ad, program about hempcrete, because we spend $400. I completely fucked this up, haven't I? I don't want to stop and start. I'm used to live broadcasting. Damn. There's that voice again. We're not going to let you run that report about hempcrete and its building, and it's the idea it can be grown here in your state and create jobs and sequester CO2. And, oh, yeah, by the way, the rest of the plant's good for about another 500 things, from plastics to foods to fibers. But worry about that hempcrete thing. You don't run it. If you run it, say goodbye to $400,000 in advertising revenue to your TV station. If you think what I'm talking about, guys, is that the media has only been corrupted at the national level, think again. Everybody has a price, man. People look the other way. People bury stories all the time. It happened here in Tampa Bay. Jill Akrey, and one of our producers was Steve. Steve, I apologize. I should know your last name. Both independently employed by Channel 13, doing a report about the bovine hormone injections. Late 80s, early 90s. The detective work that they did as journalists showed up to see that these injections to basically, it was about making your cows produce more milk, essentially. So basically getting more milk per cow. And it turns out it's not only good for humans, it was really bad for cows. And they buried that story. Because Fox, it was a Fox affiliate at the time, Google this, it's all over YouTube. And they do a great job of explaining how their story got squashed. And that's food you consume. You go down to your whatever you think those dairy cows aren't somewhere in your state, or, you know, where do you think your milk comes from? China every day? Most milk is locally produced. And if that farmer only has 100 cows and he wants to make more money, oh, Monsanto comes to him and goes, stick this in her ass and watch what happens to your milk, fella. And he does, and he makes another $80,000 that year, and he only had to spend $10,000 on the injections, and Monsanto's happy, and he's happy, and the rest of us have new chemicals and hormones filtering through our bodies that media decided you didn't want to know about. What I'm talking about, and when I talk about media consolidation on this show, I'm talking about having enough voices where at least some of them are uncorruptible, because they're not, maybe they're nonprofit, maybe they're not buy-offable. There's a new word. Maybe you can't buy them off. Maybe they actually have character. Maybe they go, fuck you, get out of here with your money. You think I'm going to sell my grandchildren down a river? You give me $200,000. You think I'm not going to try to get the point out in a local meeting when I get 4 minutes to testify in front of some committee that doesn't want us spraying that shit in our neighborhoods and whatever it is? That's being involved. And you're involved. Why, class? Because you're fucking informed. That's why. And you're not willing to be lied to, and you're not willing to take bullshit, and you're not willing to be bought off. And no matter what kind of names they call you, conspiracy theorist, twofer. And they just go right on down the line. You know why? Because when push comes to shove, they know. They know. They just can't admit it because they can't fill the void. They can't or they won't. Blue pill, red pill. Do you want to try? Do you just want to say, dude, I got two mortgages. I got alimony. I got two kids that need braces. I appreciate what you're trying to do, Ledge, but I don't have the emotional energy to go near that topic, period. And I'm like, you know what? Then don't. I'll do it for you. I got you. But if you just want to get into the name-calling, and, oh, yeah, these guys disprove that. You know, most of these debunkers are horrible. If you even look into what they say, and then it's held up against, I don't know, architects and engineers from 9/11 Truth have actually done a bam-bam back-and-forth video where they take these so-called debunkers and they take them to the woodshed. Hang on a second. That first one was good. I'm doing 16-ouncer. Hey, now. So, debunkers can be debunked, but the people that want to, take that blue pill, their life's overwhelming, or it could be narcissistic on their point. Oh, yes, I'm educated. I went to Harvard. Whatever it is, denial is a powerful force. No, I'll say it that way. Molded plastics, body care products, okay, all kinds of oils, amazingly good for you oils come from hemp. And cannabis, by the way. Think about body care products in the future based on the hemp plant and maybe a mixture with aloe and different things. Very cool stuff. Plastic. Biodegradable plastic, let me add. We live here next to the Gulf of Mexico. We see the pictures all the time of seagulls all tangled up in nets, of course, but plastic that boaters throw over the side. You know, those little plastic rings that hold a six-pack. It's just sad. Well, hemp plastics will dissolve in about 80 days. Biodegradable goes right back to what it came from. Circular in design, like the universe. Ooh. Paper products, we know that. We know textiles, because hemp's been used for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. Sails, ropes, clothing, paper. And by the way, that old Declaration of Independence, yes. It's a hemp product, folks. That's right. Paper products we know all about. Textiles we know all about. Food. Yummy. Mostly the proteins and the seeds. But many people are realizing that these plants contain cannabinoids and hemp has CBDs. Their mixture with THC, as in the sister plant, cannabis, is different. So it makes the plant different so it doesn't create a psychoactive thing in your brain like pot does or cannabis. Medicines, of course. This is the best part, I think, of what we're learning. These are going to be non-destructive medicines. They won't, in other words, if they're going after cancer cells, they'll only kill cancer cells. You can eventually say goodbye, and hopefully soon, to radiation, to chemotherapy, to that burp. Sorry, had to. You know, seriously, think about it. Think about it. Would you rather be addicted to opiates because you got a bad back, or would you rather take some oil under your tongue or a couple of suppositories a week and feel amazing and have no side effects and no addictions and be clear-headed? Remember, CBD doesn't get you high. So it's the anti-inflammatory. It's the pain-killing part of pot. How cool is that? How cool is that? It's a plant you can divide into pieces and go, ooh. This one's going to make you think. This one's going to help that knee. And we can grow it and create jobs and taxes and money. Yay! Hallelujah! And like the little white light comes up. Yeah. Essential oils. That's the same thing as the body care. Nutritional supplements. Again, this is one plant, only about 12 things mentioned. Of course, each one of these, livestock bedding. Ooh. It's like you got a new horse and the horse is like, I don't like my bed. It's hay and it's itchy and it sucks. And you come in and you go, oh, don't worry there, Homer. Yeah, that's right. We're getting you some new hemp bedding. Soft fibers. Yeah. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Just, you know, to use the word food chain, of course, is kind of stupid, but that's really what it is. I talk about cannabis a lot. And that's cool, because I'm going to write now. 10 medical facts about cannabis. It can slow down and kills cancer cells, and or both. And we're just learning this. They've been doing the research in Israel for 20 years. How ironic. And Britain. How ironic. They've been able to look into it. in special little like places. It's like, I think it's like, it's actually a place. It would be considered like a nuclear missile silo. You know, where you have to have like 8 passes to get into it, and you're a doctor, and you're allowed to touch the cannabis. You know, and then you go back to the pub later, and you go, "Yeah, I work at the cannabis." Oh my God, you work there? Holy shit! What's it like? That guy, he's been doing research for 20 years, man. That's pretty cool. Now, of course, it's if you kind of look behind, you go, "Wow, Israel and Britain. How interesting. Why not here?" But it can stop HIV from spreading. Again, I don't know the science behind this, but I do know this. The reason the science behind this now exists is because it's becoming legal. The reason it's becoming legal is because of the internet and this motherfucker. And you are now way more informed when it comes to this topic as I was growing up. And believe me, I've got a brother who has disowned me and won't speak to me because I smoke cannabis. So I know of what I speak when it comes to how people's minds and the opinions formed and what media does over decades and decades to reinforce what a shrinking amount of people want you to know. And it's all connected, just like the dominoes, just like in V. He pushes one, it hits two, two hits four. It's called critical mass. I couldn't remember that the other time when I did the show. And I wanted to mention that. You can't stop critical mass. You know why? Because we all can't shut the fuck up. It's awesome. Hey, believe me, I've done a little gossiping. I love spreading news. It'll burn, you know, powerful people. But I've been around so much gossip, working in radio. It's like, oh, did you hear so-and-so quit? No, I don't know what I'm saying. Yeah, I think someone's going to rehab. And it's like, can anybody keep a secret? No. And that's why we have critical mass. Now, that's also happening digitally. Because why? People are texting or people are sharing a text. And I'm like, oh, man, what is that? Oh, jeez, that's a cool website. Let me go to it. I hit, I read. I'm like, holy crap. I didn't know that. And then I go, okay, I go to Google, type it in. Oh, my God, there's 10 articles about it. And I read about it. And by the time I'm done, I don't have my sound effects queued up. Ding! There you go. I've done some detective work. Go figure. Is it sad or ironic or does it piss you off that the reason we know about the DNC leaks is because of a hacker? And we are, the piece de resistance, is that the media, who's supposed to have told you that, is now attacking the leak. What does that say to you about your information food chain? Six lanes, folks. There used to be 50. It's not just because I work in it. It's not just because I know it from a personal level. And yes, have been burned by it. It's that it's absolutely vital. I should play the intro again. Media is the lifeblood of a democracy. Without it, the democracy can't survive. I think it's from Outfoxed, and it's part of my intro bed. If you don't have a pen, the sword will win. If you have a printing press and can put out a bunch of pamphlets 500 years ago that questioned the powers that be, the Catholic Church, and said, you know, I've been reading some of this Copernicus guy. I'm glad I said that wrong. That was funny. I'm so cracking myself up today. All right. Yeah, I, you know, the math works. I've been looking at some of the photos. Galileo just became a Canadian. And I got to tell you that there's a real good chance now that the sun don't go around us. Okay. Okay there. The sun actually sits kind of still, and we go around it, okay? You going to the game? I had to do that. Galileo had a bunch of pamphlets, and he spread them out. And he had the little diagrams of the, you know, scribbled on, you know, in the printing press. Knowledge. oh my God, people started questioning that. And suddenly what went from essentially, I'm not saying the Catholic Church did the math and already knew, but what they did tell people was the Earth was the center of the universe because the stars all revolved around us, of course, at least the illusion, and the sun in the same sequence. We're turning. We're spinning on an axis. Knowledge. It changed the way. It changed two things. Remember now, who gets more power? Who gets less power? You want to know why the Bible was written in Latin? And there was only one of them in each town? And only the priests knew how to read Latin? It's been going on a long time. And I became aware of it. And yeah, I got pissed. And yeah, I tried to just shove it down too many people's. And I said, you know what? That thirsty horse will go to the water. Whoever that person is, whatever they are. And some people, and this, I also get this too. I get this a lot. You know, long time, and these are people I know or socially run into. Hey man, you know, I looked into, you know, 9/11. And I'm like, yeah? And they go, it's like pretty fucked up. Yeah, yes it is. Good for you. And then they look at you with a blank stare in their face like, my whole world is white. There's nothing there. It's like when Morpheus shows Neo what the Matrix is. Literally, it's just a program. And he's sitting in white, standing on white, white next to him or something. It's the same. It's the same feeling when you have to reject a storyline that is so pertinent in your belief system. And now it's 15 years old, too. So you got 15 years of thinking things. That you have to kind of go, wow. Well, you know, why would the media lie to the people, man? And then you go, oh, yeah. Oh, what was his name?
Okay.
He owned about 35, what? 30, probably 40 forests and newspapers. I see, this is the senior moment, but it'll come to me. And he's like, man, this hemp plant. I'm looking on the cover of Popular Mechanics. Like 1917, that magazine was around. Pretty cool. See, knowledge is power. Cool stuff. And it goes, the decorticator. And it was like a machine. And it looked like a, you know, like a hay baler kind of a thing. And it could actually rip open the stalk on the hemp and hemp and rip it right across, pull all the cool fibers out and stuff, put the outside over there to be squeezed for oils, and then take those fibers, and those fibers are going to turn into either material or paper 10 times stronger than cotton. And this machine could do it way fucking faster than the 10 people you had to hire to do it. What does that equate to? And then 10 lost jobs, man? Technically, yes, you're right. The corticator, all right? And it said hemp, the billion-dollar crop with a B, and they said it in 1917, right around there. It's like Dr. Evil wants $1 billion, and he's calling 1967. They're like, Dr. Evil, there's not even that much money. Well, guess what? Hemp was a billion-dollar crop. When there was I don't even think there were any millionaires yet. How's that for a future? And guess what? It's been illegal for 100 years. Why? Oh, I don't know. Because drugs are bad, okay? This is your brain on drugs. This is your brain on drugs with a side of bacon. Fucking A. Doesn't that piss you off? See, that's what kept happening to me. Like, oh my God, no, that's a lie. And eventually I grew my sense of humor about it. And then you got it. And then you go, oh shit, it's been going on since Adam and Eve. And the world's, you know, and you go back and everything's a goddamn story. I'm like, is there any truth woven in here? Oh yeah, these scientist guys got shit going. Yeah, see that over there? That's not a star. That's Mars. You know how you know that? Because it travels in one direction for a while. And then it looks like it's traveling in the other direction for a while. That's because it's going around the same shit we are. Ha! podcasts about, you know, do you shave your pussy, or, you know, it's time for the volleyball report, or I'm an MMA guy, or I like baseball, or this show's a show about nothing, or, you know, this is a show about vodka. I don't care. The more the merrier. Bring them. Tons of them. Do them yourself. There's guys doing funny. I got a guy on Facebook, and he just makes fun of dumb people that, you know, tweet and, you know, can't spell, don't even use spell check. And I'm like, he's got like millions of hits. I'm like, good for him. He's calling out the dummies. Learn to spell. Get some knowledge. I know how to use Snapchat. Can you spell it? Because like right now, I don't think so. Medical facts about cannabis: assists in PTSD and mental health, pain relief, combats depression, anxiety, ADHD, assists with nausea and vomiting. Now, remember, during its early medical marijuana years, mostly in California, people that were getting chemo were smoking weed so they could eat and end that nausea. That was what medical cannabis was considered only good for. Now, I'm not saying it's not good for that, but there's a little bit more meat on that plate. It can treat epilepsy. You've seen the videos by now. If you listen to a podcast like this and you see, listen, we're a family in Florida. We have a six-year-old girl. She has 400 seizures a day, sometimes less and more. She's on six different medications. We can't get medical cannabis here in Florida. We're moving to Colorado. We don't care if we can get a job. We're going to go there because our daughter and the simple cannabinoids and THC and the oils, when we put her under our tongue, had two seizures in a week. That's why I'm pissed. What does it threaten? Well, we just did hemp. What does weed threaten? Big pharma. Remember, we're talking about being able to get high and feel good and feel safe and communicate and not have depression or have your PTSD or maybe your knee pain stops. And by the way, they're showing that it can slow the progression of Alzheimer's. Big research now. Awesome! I posted that story and I said, so much for the blasphemy. I should have called it blasphemy. I said stereotype, I believe. You smoke pot, man. You're not going to know anything. You're going to be a dummy. Oh, yeah? Well, guess what? The people that are losing their faculties due to Alzheimer's, a brutal disease, might have a reverse of that, but you think pot is illegal. I'm sorry, immoral and dangerous. And, oh, yeah, your daddy used to own Publix. Yeah, that story's big, too. He's given $800,000 to the Say No to Two campaign in Florida. Why? Because Publix has a bunch of pharmacies. Duh. Who else is fighting illegal weed? Every cop who's ever kicked in a door and had his pay raise, the amount of money that the police had to spend, the new vehicles, the equipment they used, all come to them via the drug war, of course. You don't have to be a detective to connect a few dots to see who doesn't want legal cannabis. Big booze, baby, big beer, big alcohol, everywhere in the country that legal marijuana. There's only where it's recreationally legal in two states. All the other states, I believe, are up to 23, 24. It's strictly, quote unquote, medical marijuana, medical cannabis. All of those states have seen a 5% decline in alcohol sales. Oh, man. So why is it taking so slow? Yeah. They want a piece of the pie now. Big tobacco wants a piece of the pie. Big booze wants a piece of the pie. They're going to like, oh, yeah, we'll let you have it, but we're going to grow it, too. And Monsanto's already working on their own genetic Frankenstein weed. Look out. You might grow a third eyeball. And I don't mean the right eyeball. I mean the correct one. I'm not talking pineal gland. I mean an actual third eyeball. Like chunk. Assistance in neurological damage with concussions and strokes. The NFL is already talking about this. It is in the circle. And if anybody who works for a major news organization starts to tweet, suggest the NFL's thinking about rethinking, or players are speaking out about legal cannabis, what it can do for concussions, what it can be used as the CBD side painkiller versus opiates. These are guys that, believe me, they get banged up. And I did football, Buccaneers radio, and I was told a lot of things off the record, because I would ask. I'd go, listen, I just want to know what's going on in this league. And there was about five players that I was around for 3 or 4 years each. I'd only ask them a question once in a while. I'd go, like, you know, how prevalent are painkillers? And they just go something like, they're everywhere, man. They're everywhere. Boom. Well, that's because the guy, you ever collides with someone doing 18 miles an hour and he weighs 100 pounds more than you? Good luck. Let me know how that works out neurologically. So believe me, sports franchises are looking into it, especially hockey and football. Hockey, not so much. Very clean. We're upper echelon fans there, you know. Not too many our inner city kids are making it on the ice. So that marijuana up here, we're all Lutheran. That's the devil's lettuce. So what I'm saying is where it goes and how it gets there and how quick it gets there. Well, the Northwest. Look, very progressive area of the country. And okay, people got it. And people, oh, by the way, tax money up the wazoo, $5 billion so far last year. And that includes all the states with medical cannabis. That includes the two states with recreational cannabis. $5 billion in sales, folks. Shouldn't that be on the front of your newspaper? Shouldn't that be the lead story on the news? No. It's Zika or ISIS. How bullshit is that? Seriously. It can treat glaucoma. It's been doing that for quite a few years. Post-seizure symptoms, and much, much more. It only mentions 10 here. What am I going to call this show? Read the Meme? Like, just reading the meme. It's the Read the Meme show. All right, let's do this one. Yes, let's do this one. America's top spelling mistakes. All right, for full disclosure here, I can't spell for shit. That riddle, that little red squiggly line... Like, yeah, Ledge is smart. Yeah, he's a pretty articulate guy. Yeah. That has saved my ass, I am telling you. And I'm not joking. The red squiggly line says, no, Ledge, you do not spell tongue. T-O-N-G. That is tongue. All right, basically, it's got an entire... It essentially just has every state in the union... And then it has our word. Now, I'm in Florida, and I always forget the double R on this one. I always get the red squiggly line. Tomorrow! But now, it's so cool. I love my new phone. I want to have sex with it. Can I have sex with my podcast and my phone? That would be cool. It's like, yeah. One's taking pictures while the other one... Yeah. Anyway. The word tomorrow. And the neat thing is... it's a bad thing. Conspiracy theorists are like Ledge. It's recording you. You know, that's why when someone asks you about dinner in Tampa, when you open Google, it already said dinner in Tampa. Ooh, spooky. Well, since I'm not an international terrorist, fuck them. I don't care. And since I do a podcast that says fuck them. I don't care. Then my new phone isn't like, it's not like, hi, are you listening to me? Are you taking pictures of me? I'm looking at my new phone now. I don't see it. I don't. So anyways, it's got the algorithm. So when I speak, you know, like I'm speaking a text, I love it. Just it spells tomorrow for me. And I'm like, oh yeah, I'm smart. But you know, under full disclosure, ladies and gentlemen, I can't spell for shit. I'm not a good speller. All right, the state of Georgia, can you spell appreciate? Yeah, they're still working on spelling Georgia. Alabama. Sergeant. California. They can't spell desert. That's good. That's a good one. Up there in the northwest in Washington State, where half the people get pneumonia every year, they can't spell pneumonia. Yeah! Okay, Montana, which has about 8 people living in it and is essentially a vacuum. Can't spell vacuum. You know, I'm laughing, but listen, I have a skill set, and spelling will never be one of them. Minnesota can't spell broccoli. Okay? Arkansas can't spell gray. Missouri can't spell leprechaun. I bet there's like a lot of drunk people. Oh, it's a leprechaun. Yeah, it's right over there. Here's a two-footer. How do you spell that, sir? Lepra. Where am I? Pennsylvania can't spell canceled. That means all the playoffs for all the teams, yeah. New York State, which is a beautiful state. Isn't New York beautiful? They can't spell beautiful. You gotta love that. Up there in Maine, they can't spell vacuum either. See, again, another vacuum state. Oh, wait a minute. Utah can't spell leprechauns. Or leprechaun. That means that's a lot of people have been in the desert and their brains fried. Like, water, are you a leprechaun? I can't spell you. Just below them, in Arizona, diarrhea. Well, there's a lot of old people in Arizona. Okay, and you're filling out reports? You can't write shitstorm. Dude, you can't. Wait a minute, I'm not in Scotland. Dude, you can't write shitstorm on a report from a woman crapping her pants at the nursing home. I can't spell diarrhea, dude. Dude! We'll do a couple more. Illinois can't spell appreciate. I have nothing to say about that one. Here we go. Nevada. Okay. Home of, it's kind of like Sin City. It's where people go to do stuff they're told they should never do. And with people they should never do it with. So you would think, with all that doing it going on there, you know, the whole state, Reno, you know, Vegas. I think there's a lot of weird, you know, eventually everybody gets to know each other. I think they're having issues with cousin. Who is a cousin? Who isn't a cousin? And they can't spell cousin. There you go. I've got a couple more. God, I'm not going to play any music. I am going to close with Bill Hicks, though. I already got that queued up. That's why I say that. But I always love this meme. I don't even know who posted it. It's just a little chart. I don't know if I've actually referenced this before. Excuse me. It's called the virtue continuum. And since we are, listen, I got to preface this first.
Have I even done a fuck for a Clear Channel moment?
No, here we go. Fuck. Clear Channel. Fuck clear channel. I'm not your father. There we go. That's good. That's cool. I don't know. I just hadn't made a reference to those douchebags and how they've, God, just shrunk the conversation. They just shrunk it, man. It's not just Limbaugh. It's, you know, Hannity and Beck and all their minions, man.
And then they all act like, well, I'm not establishment media. I'm not mainstream media. And that is the funniest thing, by the way, when they refer to the mainstream media lying to you.
Mr. Pot, Mr. Kettle, I'm sure you guys have something to talk about.
Fucking A. Limbaugh is calling the mainstream media liars. That's awesome.
How deranged and in love with yourself and overpaid, completely bought off and just loving every time you enter, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to be with the president. You're just so in love with yourself. It's so obvious. And that little tiny speck of conscience you had was like, it's like The Fly, you know, in the movie The Fly. He's like the little fly.
My conscience is...
In the Limbaugh, the rest of it's just a big giant fly going, ah, fuck you, conscience. I'm making $500 million a year.
That guy, what makes you think him and Hannity are any different? Or him and Beck? And believe me, I'm only mentioning in the top three or four stooges, but there's quite a few.
And they know they are. They're not journalists. They're pundits. They change the language so legally they'll never be responsible for lying the fuck to you. But then they have an audience, and then there's promotional money put into what they do. And you see them on a billboard as you're driving over the interstate. And you go, that guy looks like he knows. I'm going to tune him in. Ladies and gentlemen, don't think I'll do it for you.
He actually said that once.
Not kidding. That's so Saturday Night Live.
It's awesome.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, NBC. I should play that piece if I can find it. Maybe I'll end with that. Maybe I'll go Bill Hicks and then play that piece. But the thing is, it's very visual. It's a piece they played on SNL one night that talked about the consolidation and how it buries information. And it was on SNL years ago. You got to remember, deregulation was 97. So anytime after that, people were going to see what happened, and they started to see what was happening. And Saturday Night Live, it only ran once. It was one of those things where corporate buried it. They absolutely buried it. Amber Lyon, Google her. Okay, she wanted to tell both stories of the Bahrain conflict. She did a 90-minute documentary, CNN, buried it. I mean, the stories go on and on and on. It's not just your local newspaper that'll look the other way because the sheriff is connected and rich. This shit goes on all the time. It's a shame. But then there's this thing called the internet. It's been the great equalizer. I'm glad it's here. And the more the merrier. I said that a couple minutes ago. If you want to do a podcast, I don't care what you do it about. Because here's an idea. You do it about beer, then you start talking about microbreweries, and then as microbreweries grow, then you start to see they've hit a glass ceiling. They can't expand anymore. Well, technically, it wouldn't be a microbrewer if they became huge. But the point is, they want to expand their brand, or they want to, you know, get their beer in another city, and suddenly they get a, and then they can only can a certain amount, or they become known as a large brewery, and then they have to ship it to a warehouse, and the warehouse has to ship it to them. It's just like, oh, yeah. It's like, basically, it's like when you're a small mobster and then you get involved and you start growing your little kingdom. And then all of a sudden, you're in a meeting with the five families. Yeah. I'm going to turn you down. Yeah. I mean, just watch Godfather Part Two. Watch it. So I guess there's caring. And caring enough and caring about things, where getting involved, finding your passions, mine are obviously solar energy and alternative energies, wind and tidal power and geothermal power and growing algae and hemp plants for potable fuels. And right on down the line, that is our future. Energy, everything stems from energy. Money's not real. I know it controls markets, but technically it's just digits and computers. You can't eat it. You can't touch it. You can't put it in your gas tank. but you can certainly sequester sunlight. You can gather your own water. You can grow your own food. And that's all energy. You're sequestering energy. That's basically how the universe works. Well, we have, especially in this country, we just go to the store. Go to the store. Go to the store. That's all we do. Not so much. Not so much anymore. People aren't sure what's in that food when it says GMO. Okay, I'm going to grow my own vegetables in my front yard. People are always posting great pictures of their gardens. We're seeing vertical structures, vertical gardens come into play when you have limited land. We're seeing rotating vertical structures. So, you know, great, great people using information to go around the monolith or crash the matrix or what use whatever description you want. And that's really why I love doing this show. My goal is never to make a dime off of this. I probably won't. I don't worry about that. What I worry about is there's this great group of people out there who want to think for themselves. And sometimes they're at the beginning of that red pill moment and they're a little angry and confused, mostly angry. It's just like finding out your girlfriend cheats. Okay, it's the exact same mental thing. You were in love with your government. You think your government wouldn't lie to you. You trusted your government, and your government fucked you over. Woohoo! It's just like that. So you go through those phases. First you doubt it. You know, she wouldn't cheat on me, man. All right? And then you know, and you start to maybe think about it and look into it. And all those phases. Of course, there's denial. Then you get to acceptance. And that's usually a little, I think anger gets you to acceptance. Anger is like, you know, we're emotional creatures and you got to let that out. If you don't let that out, that's not good for you. So you let your meltdowns and then, of course, take an antidepressant. You know, I'm like, fuck that. I'm fine. I'm supposed to be mad. I'm supposed to be. And now I'm starting to balance out and feel good. And guess what? I'm getting to acceptance. All right. My government fucked me over. They lied to me. They made me think they were one thing. But guess what? It's not about me. It's about them. And you're not stupid. You were lied to. Now, that does get to a point where you have enough information around you. This is the whole theme of tonight's show. Where information is right there. All you got to do is click enter or type something in Google. And if you want to know it, there's nothing holding that back ever again. Consolidation tried. And they're still trying. And that's why Zika, ISIS. It's like every time you walk by a main street, there's the TVs and I'm on the air and I turn the TV on. It goes to the local channel news, so-called news. And all of a sudden, blink, there's the big Zika mosquito.
How would it get you? Look out for the mosquitoes.
And then now they're talking about releasing genetically modified mosquitoes to go over the Zika's house. I mean, the other mosquito's house. Bring over a bottle of champagne, light some candles, and fuck that mosquito. And then create a third level mutant mosquito that doesn't carry Zika and it likes to play the ukulele. I don't fucking know. Create the problem, problem, reaction, solution, right? Zika, reaction, I'm afraid, mosquitoes. Solution, we've got all these genetically modified mosquitoes, and they cost us a lot of money. We'd like to make a little profit. All right, let them out in South Florida. We'll see what happens. That ought to work. It's like, you just picture it like, I don't know, let's say it takes two generations. So let's say 45, 50 years from now, it's like some guy has got he's got another head growing out of his belly, like the Schwarzenegger Mars movie. And you're like, how'd that happen? Don't know. So woke up one morning there and there's a little guy living in his stomach. We are so guinea pigs. Nobody cares. Nobody cares that we're guinea pigs. How is that? I've gone 2 hours. I feel I'm done yet. I'm getting there. The movie with the sound down earlier was less than zero. I just flip on cable. Great late 80s, 89, 90 movie that came out, you know, all about the Hollywood kids and crack cocaine and Robert Downey Jr. actually getting effed up on that shit. And that's when I fell in love with Jamie Gertz. Great soundtrack, but it's a really coolly photographed movie. You should check it out. It's a lot of that 80s Hollywood look about it, but a lot of like bright blues and bright reds and pool reflecting on. Very cool movie to watch. It is. And it's a cool story, you know, bittersweet flick, but it's that was on earlier. Now, since I've been doing this monologue, I haven't paid attention, but what is this one called? Gee, I've never heard of this movie before. Field of Dreams. Here we go. I think, you know, with 9/11's 15th anniversary coming, and a lot of people, you know, recirculating the questions and architects and engineers. I just downloaded a new research PDF from them. I'm going to keep it in my laptop when I get into conversations or arguments with people. The science doesn't say it. I'm like, yep, here you go. Go do your math. Because this PDF proves it. And he's, what is it? It's investigative journalism. It's a guy who goes, asks questions, talks to a professor, talks to a metallurgist, talks to a steel worker. Photographs actual pictures of steel, asks why, test it for sulfur, test it for everything from why is this metal all thinned out where it looks like it melted? You know, that is what a detective would do, right? Oh, unless, of course, you take all the evidence and steel and everything, quickly collect it, put it in trucks, take it to water, put it in big old barges, ship it to China and melt it. Now, what would a detective say that was? When you go into a, I'm just going to throw a bunch of bleach on this crime scene here. Destruction of evidence. It's the same thing. What does the mainstream media say about that? They don't say anything. It's crickets. Everybody knows that. So with 15 years right around the corner, you come to the realization that these moments from my what I will call my spiritual journey, where the permanent piece of consciousness that is me is incarnated and I'm in the Scott vehicle and I'm, you know, doing my purpose, you know, and playing a part in this matrix, but also where I'm in the matrix. Where am I now with this? I'm at acceptance. This is what happens. When you get to know a subject more and more and more, first you're angry, then you're disillusioned, then you're scared, and you're kind of like, I don't know what to do. And then the learning process that has been going on in your day, in your year, in your entire life continues forward. That's what it is. You're either going to learn or you won't. I don't know what that means. I'm not telling you what, you know, if there's reincarnation or if what you do here affects your next. I don't know. And frankly, I don't care. I'm more concerned about enjoying this one. I'll figure that out, you know, but this one has me at acceptance, realizing that these events have always happened, that the powerful will always use these events to try to stay in power. They will also use these events to create divisions and create an enemy and feed from both sides of this, your side, their side, and stay in power. Behind closed doors, you know, it's going on a long time. And then have people that are our spokesmen or people that are our news people. I'm official. Look at this $5,000 suit. What I'm about to tell you is absolute fucking true. These guys are the bad guys. They did this bad thing to these good people. And we are the good guys. And we need to go kill those bad guys with weapons we just sold to them. And then we'll do it again. Fuckers. I mean, that's why I'm at acceptance. Oh, yeah, I'm at acceptance in one of my relationships. When I found out something 7 years after the fact, I was like, yeah, that makes sense. Now the dots are connecting. Okay, thanks for telling me. I was already at acceptance there. I wasn't like, oh, man, that can't happen, you know. So the rabbit hole is, it's weird because it works as backwards. The rabbit hole is actually more difficult at the beginning and then gets less and less difficult because you start to say, wow, this motherfucker's connected everywhere. Way back to the 50s. Oh, my God, let's go back 200 years. No, let's go back to the Egyptians, or how far back you're curious about and want to know and what research. And there's some speculation. I love speculation. Just don't call everything a fact. And stop being so quick on the trigger, man. If it's false flag, there'll be plenty of time for all the anomalies to bubble to the surface. More and more curious people will ask more and more questions. And, you know, if I'm told that 50 people got shot in Orlando, I'm going to wait probably half a year to a year for every, there'll be some films that are released. That's what good research does. That's what a good detective does. It's been a whole concept of tonight's show. Is be curious. Don't be curious about everything. It's too much work. It's way too much to think about. You know, you got to get out there and get your human on and have fun. Enjoy your life. But find two or three things you doubt and look into them. And then you're going to have your red pill moment. And then you realize, hey, that Ledge guy on that podcast I listened to, you know, he said I'm going to get through this. So I'm not going to worry so much about filling in all the blanks. You know, maybe I don't know what happened to the passengers. And maybe it's not that important yet because there's speculation about that. We've been told they disintegrated in two different crash sites. And I know. So maybe don't worry about that, but worry about the motives. Worry about the pre-selling of this. Google PNAC. Good, look back into the military-industrial complex and see what they had decided. After Russia crumbled, late 80s, early 90s, we had no new boogeyman. And if we're supposed to keep building weapons and selling weapons, we need a world full of terror. It took him about 10 years because Clinton was in office, and I don't think he was going to capitulate while he was in office. He's obviously backs it now. He makes fun of people that mentioned Building 7 or something. So he's, not to mention, I don't know how many dead bodies are behind him and that chick. Woohoo! Stephen King should, like, just write a book called The Clintons and just have everybody, I mean, man, you think zombie movie TV kills a lot of people? Look into those people. Wow. But I think we're at the point now, and I've seen, you know what, let me say this too. I've seen some of the bigger sites that I used to go to on a regular basis, because at first they were alternative media. But then they essentially started getting a lot of clicks, and then they started getting what? A lot of advertisers. And when they get the advertising dollars come in, they can build a bigger staff. And, you know, like, and then you'll find them leaning one way or the other. Mostly, you know, like, I don't know. I just don't want to call one out because they're not the only person that decided to take the money and shut up. But that's what they do. So be curious about something. And if you're going to get information from it, if I'm you, I wouldn't go to a mainstream news source at all. I would click on websites, you know, let's say you type in what I was talking about earlier, bovine growth formula. And you're going to get Monsanto right up there going, it's safe. Here, have a taste. You're going to get them right at the top, you know, or paid advertisement or, you know. And then you scroll through a couple pages and then you go, that ruined my entire cow crop or whatever they're called. Now, what do you call a bunch of cows? A collection? A crop? A herd. That's right. Sorry. Herd. Killed my entire herd. They all got pussy infected bladders and glands. I love it when that happens, like, right on cue, like it's supposed to. Like, ta-ting! That little piece of audio means Ledge is correct. Listen, a little about tonight's show, real quick, and I'm done. I haven't smoked cannabis in about 2 months. Okay? Partly financial, but mostly because, you know, I got new things I need to focus on even more. And I don't know, corporations, you might, you know, You never know who you end up working for, doing some work for, and they're going to go pop a piss test. So I was like, you know what? Let's go a couple months without it, and that'll be cool. And it's no big deal. It's not. It's easy to walk away from. It's easy to walk towards. It's cannabis. And I decided to smoke before the show, first time. And I said, you know what? I just want to do free form tonight. I'm going to pick five or six memes to talk to or talk from. I am only going to play. I was thinking of playing maybe one song, but I was like, well, this Hicks has a great ending to it, and it's not really should be used at the beginning of the show or the end of the show. Basically thinking through how I want to lay the show out. And I said, you know, you haven't done freeform, just rant, monologue, performance, goofiness. You haven't done that in a long, long time. Because you've always had a crew or an interview or sound bites. You know what? Get cooked down and just let it flow and just go. And here I am, what I think is probably going to be a very fun show to listen to. 2 hours. What am I at on my timer here? I'm at exactly 1 minute, roughly 1 minute 50. I'm sorry, 1 hour 55 minutes. No phone calls, no sidekicks. Read some memes, didn't play any audio. I had an entire, ironically, John Oliver's last show was about what? Journalism. Almost 4 million hits. He's a little wishy-washy on some subjects, but for the most part, he's HBO. He's a little outside mainstream media. He doesn't have to worry about advertisers. He ranks on food products all the time. So he's somewhere between them and what I do. But he gets a great platform to do it on, and I respect that. I don't always agree with him. And sometimes he gets, you know, he's, you know, when the Brexit happened, he was like, oh, the sky's going to fall, you know. Not so much, huh? That's just people waking up in England. So what's going on? That's awesome. So I was going to play this John Oliver, you know, it's a 20-minute piece, and, you know, kind of stop and start it. And I was like, nah, I'm having too much fun freestyling here tonight. So that's what that's all about. Could I freestyle without cannabis? Sure. Will it be as fun in my head? Never. I had a lot of fun tonight. I really did. This is good for me, and hopefully at least entertaining for you. I think when you realize how many things I talk about and how they really are connected, you realize, yeah, none of this shit's an accident. It's real. And with that being said, for Carlin's Corner, it's my favorite quote on Facebook, and it's so true about the news that people, if they ever want to know what maybe something like MDMA or psilocybin, or in this case, acid, when they do it, all you ever hear about, I don't want to fill in this Bill Hicks bit, and I'm going to do it, and I don't want to do that. So I'm going to say, if more of these stories, there we go, that's where I want to go. If more of these stories wanted to get on a median or a media, don't count on TV news to paint a different picture of anything that is controversial, because they're not going to do it. But in this case, I've got YouTube, so fuck you, big media. Hey, you guys have a good one. And I'm going to leave you with this masterpiece and show closed by Bill Hicks. And I'm going to talk to you next week on Dangerous Conversation right here at RadioInfluence.com. You can check me at LedgeDCRadio on Twitter. LedgeDCRadio on Twitter. If you like this podcast, please share it. I wouldn't mind it going up the food chain and having, you know, some of the bigger podcasters realize there are people out there a lot like you. You know, I'd love to be a 20-minute guest on Joe Rogan's show. Or sit across from Doug Stanhope. Not because I think they're great comedians. It's because I think they're tired of bullshit and they've got enough celebrity to reach enough people. I'm not jealous. I used to be a little jealous. But now I'm just like, no, that's their role. This is mine. That's cool. And here's a guy that was way ahead of the curve. This is early 90s stuff from Bill Hicks. Talk to you guys next week.
You never see positive drug stories on the news, do you? Isn't that weird, since most of the experiences I've had on drugs were real fucking positive? Who are these morons they're finding? That's what I want to know. I used to want to call the news. Come over to our house. Watch Tommy. He's a pig. Film him.
He's been doing that for hours. He's killing us. You getting all that? Always that same LSD story. You've all seen it. Young man on acid, thought he could fly, jumped out of a building. What a tragedy. What a dick. Fuck him. He's an idiot. If he thought he could fly, why didn't he take off on the ground first? Check it out. You don't see ducks lined up to catch elevators to fly south. They fly from the ground, you moron. Quit ruining it for everybody. He's a moron. He's dead. Good. We lost a moron. Fucking celebrate. Wow, I just felt the world get lighter. We lost a moron. Put on the Hammer album. I'm ready to dance. We lost a moron. I don't mean to sound cold or cruel or vicious, but I am, so that's the way it comes out. Professional help is being sought. How about a positive LSD story? Wouldn't that be newsworthy just once to base your decision on information rather than scare tactics and superstitions and lies? I think it would be newsworthy. Today, a young man on acid realized that all matter is merely energy condensed to a slow vibration, that we are all one consciousness experiencing itself subjectively. There is no such thing as death. Life is only a dream, and we're the imagination of ourselves. Here's Tom with the weather. You've been fantastic, and I hope you enjoyed it. There is a point. Is there a point to all this? Let's find a point. Is there a point to my act? I would say there is. I have to. The world is like a ride at an amusement park. And when you choose to go on it, you think it's real because that's how powerful our minds are. And the ride goes up and down and round. It has thrills and chills, and it's very brightly colored, and it's very loud. And it's fun for a while. Some people have been on the ride for a long time, and they begin to question, is this real or is this just a ride? And other people have remembered, and they come back to us, and they say, hey, don't worry, don't be afraid, ever, because this is just a ride. And we kill those people. Shut him up. We have a lot invested in this ride. Shut him up. Look at my furrows of worry. Look at my big bank account and my family. This has to be real. It's just a ride. But we always kill those good guys who try and tell us that. You ever notice that? And let the demons run amok. But it doesn't matter because it's just a ride. And we can change it anytime we want. It's only a choice. No effort, no work, no job, no savings of money. A choice right now between fear and love. The eyes of fear want you to put bigger locks on your door, buy guns, close yourself off. The eyes of love instead see all of us as one. Here's what we can do to change the world right now to a better ride. Take all that money we spend on weapons and defense each year and instead spend it feeding, clothing, and educating the poor of the world, which it would many times over, not one human being excluded, and we can explore space together, both inner and outer, forever in peace. Thank you very much. You've been great. I hope you enjoyed it. London, you're fantastic. Thank you. Thank you very much.
This is Vincent Hill. You've seen me on CNN, HLN with Nancy Grace, Al Jazeera, and True Crime with Aphrodite Jones, just to name a few. Now I've got my own show on Radio Influence, and I'll be taking you beyond the badge. I'll take you behind the scenes and into the minds of those following and investigating America's top news stories. Beyond the Badge with me, Vincent Hill, can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and the Radio Influence family. Let's enjoy this ride as I take you beyond the badge.